This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's 22 degrees. We're on our way to 26 today. Good morning. I'm Anthony Lawton with Joy News. Right now, it's 22 degrees, and the man himself, Eddie Maguire, sits in the hot seat next, live from Vancouver with Sat Mag right here to answer all the tough questions only on Joy 94.9.
Well, thank you very much, Jarrah, for Jarrah Thompson for Can't Find My Way. We found our way all the way to Vancouver, it seems, Macca.
Good afternoon, Eddie. How are you?
Go, Macca. How are you, buddy?
Oh, look, can't complain. No one listens. What's happening over there? Is it hot?
Well, it's the mist is down. There's had a bit of trouble on the alpines today, but look, we're starting to get to the end of the Vancouver Olympic Games now, and a lot of it's going to go indoors, so we'll have the speed skating tonight, and of course in the next couple of days the ice hockey final, which is the biggest thing of them all as far as the Canadians are concerned, and then the closing ceremony on Sunday. So Sunday's a big day, and the next 2 days is a bit of curling and bits and pieces, but I think all up it's been a pretty successful Games.
Hi, Eddie, it's Nick here. What's the workload been like for you? Do you get any breaks and all this stuff?
No, not too much, because I've also been doing radio back to Melbourne for Triple M for a fair bit of the event, and also, obviously the media interviews and things. You're going pretty much flat out. I was up, luckily, in the mountains a couple of times there for the aerials and the ski cross, which is fantastic. Otherwise, you get a bit of cabin fever. You basically go from hotel to radio studio to television studio, and don't see much of anything. And because we're of the time difference, I'm knocking off work probably, 1:32 in the morning most days. So it's, that's the joy of being involved in the Olympic Games. You get in and you go your hardest.
So do you get to actually meet any of these, the performers, I'd about to say, the athletes themselves?
Well, you get to meet the athletes in certain circumstances. Obviously, we get them to come into the studio for interviews. As I said, they're going up to the mountaintop to catch up with some of the competitors when I was calling the aerials and also the ski cross. But by and large, look, the athletes are kept in the athletes' village. They're here to compete. They go and do their bit. If they have a win, then once they're finished, they come out and have a bit of a celebration.
That's their moment, yeah.
But similarly for us, look, we just work flat out until we... till the job's done, and then we'll probably have a wrap party and come home.
Fantastic. Now, I want you to cast your mind back, Eddie, to when I spoke to you. I'm sure you remember on Face to Face on Channel 31 when we, after the Molly Meldrum roast.
That's right.
Yep. And you said that at the time that you thought that Collingwood would be pretty much the best club for an AFL player to come out, that the support mechanisms were there. You had, you've got the Pink Magpies. Obviously, that was then, and this is now. The comments about Johnny Weir, look, it's caused an awful lot of international media. What was that about? I suppose people are wondering what brought you to that point, you and Mick, to say the stuff that you said.
Well, Mac, can I ask you a question first? Have you heard it?
I have, yep, and, well, I've actually read the transcript. I haven't actually heard it, so...
No. Okay, well, that's a big difference, because you've read a transcript as opposed to being involved in a two-hour broadcast, and I think this is where everybody's getting things completely upside down. The broadcast itself, and one of the biggest stories happening in the ice skating at the moment, is the debate between artistic merit and the athleticism of ice skating and ice dancing. And the whole situation also was the flamboyancy and the decamp nature of a lot of the costumes, and whether or not that was having an influence positively or negatively on the judging results and just where the sport was going. Now, Johnny Weir has actually become a reasonably good friend over here. In fact, I'm about to go over and catch up with him now. And I've spent a lot of time here since the furor that came out after a day after, and no one seemed to worry about it for a day, and then suddenly one gossip column in a internet forum decided to go for it. But what is interesting here is that that whole situation with Mick was in a comedy scenario where we were joking about the costumes. At no stage did we have a go at Johnny Weir. In fact, if you ever listen to the actual segment, we say how wonderful he is and how we supported him. What Johnny Weir's been copying, ironically, and I suppose this is the thing that makes me scratch my head, is that he has been copying homophobic reaction, a lot of it from his American counterparts. And also, he said to me in an exclusive interview 3 days later, when Johnny came over and we had a good conversation about the whole situation, went through it, and he found that I was more a supporter than I was a denigrator, that he said he believed that his flamboyant nature cost him a medal. And he was saying there was the politics involved, not only the politics of gay politics or sexual politics, but also the politics of the Olympics, where he believed that they wanted to have an Asian, a European, and a North American on the podium. And once the American was going to win the gold, he was never a chance, even though his second dance routine was pretty good. Now, a lot of people here say that he probably might have got in for a bronze, and certainly it should have been a little bit higher than what he finished. So, I mean, that's a roundabout way of saying there's a lot of hoo-ha going on here, particularly given the fact that the comments that were made by Mick and I were about costumes. We were laughing at the curling costumes, which were worn by, I don't know whether they're straight, gay, or anything else, but we're laughing at the costumes, and they were flamboyant costumes. There was no attacking anybody in regards to their sexuality. And in fact, Johnny Weir, we were actually promoting as one of the most interesting parts of the telecast, and subsequently he's come and worked for us. And I'm in talks with Johnny at the moment to try and bring him down to Melbourne and to perform.
Don't let him do the Logies, please. We couldn't possibly stand it.
Not the Logies, but guys, look, I'm that's all at me saying that. But I've spoken to a number of my gay friends. I went and got gay television executives to come and have a look at it in context. I spoke to Brian Walsh, who's the head of Foxtel, and said, Brian, sit down, watch it on your own, come back to me. What did you think? He said, look, you're right, it has been blown out of proportion. He said, look, that might have been a bit touch and go. He said, maybe in a tonight setting. I said, it wasn't a tonight show setting because we brought in audience. Mick was there. It was absolutely a piss-take segment, if you like, not commentary on the games itself. It was, let's have a look at some of the funny things that are going on here, whether it be the flame being stuck behind a 10-metre fence that no one could get near to get a photo, which they changed. Was it the over-flamboyant costumes or the plainly ridiculous costumes that some of the competitors were wearing, not just in the ice skating, but in other things? And, look, why I throw this up and why I half-welcome this anti-discrimination situation is, look, we all sometimes need reminding because, if you're not homophobic, if it doesn't cross your mind about these things, if you're used to joking with your gay friends and them joking back at you, remembering that no one misses me at any stage in giving me a belting or letting me know about what their thoughts are on me. You can sometimes, just have fun and think that it's left at that. Where I'm very concerned is that I don't want any rednecks or real homophobes to be able to try and trail in behind any comments that I made or Mick made and then defame people or, attack them in a vicious way. I think Johnny Weir had a really good line. I said to him, Johnny, when does it go from being a joke and being involved in a joke to something that really offends? He says, when it becomes vicious and when it becomes frightening. And he said, look, I was pitching that joke to the world. You guys joked along with it. You got the joke. You weren't being vindictive. You weren't being aggressive. He said, I got death threats from the anti-fur lobby. He said, I got a lot of threats from rednecks. He said, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. The big issues for us and for the community is say, a listener that we have in mind often for Joy is that sort of person who's still quite young, very vulnerable, listening in and not out of the closet. When they hear those comments, and it does put you in a difficult position, I guess, that if they're taken out of context, yet you're branded with those comments. So where do you think you can actually go more proactively? Obviously, you do it personally, with reducing this level of vulnerability and people who are listening and out there. I mean, I'm thinking...
Well, look, I think that's the thing. I mean, but let's be honest. there's always an edge in humour, isn't there? I mean, you know, I pick up the paper, my kids pick up the paper every day and see Dad in the cartoons and the headlines, and you know, that's part of you know, life in the fast lane, I suppose. But we do have to be careful. Look, I think that the stuff that we said, you know, you're really drawing the bow to say that it was attacking, you know, anybody other than people who had flamboyant or bad taste in clothing. You know, Mick is not homophobic by any stretch of the imagination. And let's remember, the term homophobic's been thrown around. And I think that Gary Burns in Sydney's got to be a little bit careful in the way he goes at this and vilifies people just because he has a different take on what was said. I mean, homophobic means you have a phobia towards homosexuals, that is, you're either frightened of them or you fear them or you hate them. Well, I mean, you know, that's a big, big, big call. I mean, and I'd like to think that people would look at maybe 25, 30 years of broadcasting and say, geez, you know, well, maybe we didn't like the joke, but Maguire's, you know, been in there. He was the bloke who really pushed hard on when HIV was in football. He's got letters from the various gay lobby groups saying he did more in 20 minutes on the footy show than we did in 5 years of frightening the hell out of people with the Grim Reaper campaign, who has helped set up the gay magpies at Collingwood, and has had numerous people over the years say that he's been in the forefront of gay relations in particularly in the television showbiz world. You know, I'm happy to stand up and have my civil rights and civil liberties bona fides put up against anybody. But I think that people have got to be careful. When I say people, I think Gary Burns got to be a bit careful when he goes after people who are actually on his side.
Yep.
You know, he doesn't know me, he doesn't know what I'm about. No. Look, you know, there's probably good odds that I'll get a pasting at the Mardi Gras.
Well, that's all to come out. But in sense of moving on, you know, we had a comment already from a listener.
Yeah, which basically a couple of listeners have asked. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Eddie. Idaho, the International Day Against Homophobia, and the AFL Players Association are supporting this in terms of there are 12 players that want to be part of this campaign in terms of removing homophobia from sport or challenging it. Can we ask you to perhaps step up for that?
Mate, I'd be the patron if I could be involved. This is where, I mean, to be perfectly honest, and bad luck for me, but I've really been really bruised and hurt by this.
Mm.
And I take it to heart, not personally, but because the last thing on God's earth I want to be is to be any sort of poster person for discrimination against gays. I am so the opposite. Every sinew and everything I stand for in life is for looking after minority groups, people who are put under pressure. My family came to Australia to get away from that type of thing. It is what we have been brought up with in our household, what I teach my kids. You know, when I lived in Sydney at one stage, I remember the day after the Mardi Gras, and my five-year-old in the car were driving along at that lunchtime, and he looked at the window and said, "Dad, why has that man got a feather up his bottom?" You know, and we turned around, we had a bit of a laugh, and we sat down, and I explained to him as a young boy, and I explained to my two sons, we have diverse friends, and we have people who come to our house who are, you know, who are gay, and I said, "This is the lifestyle they have. This is what they're about. They're our friends." And that's it. So why I'm, you know, one of the things I'm really conscious of is because maybe I have lived in a world for 30 odd years in showbiz where my closest friends, some of my closest friends are gay, lesbian, transgender, the whole thing, people I work with on a daily basis and who I've had a ton of respect for, and I think that they would be very happy to vouch, and most of them have rung me up and said, "Oh, look, if you need any references," I said, "Well, I don't, hope it doesn't have to go that far, but, you know, that's the sort of thing I'm about." So, yeah, what you're asking me to do is absolutely in my DNA and has been my history in the media. So,
fantastic.
You know, to joke about guys, and it's, look, you know, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys, but to joke about the costumes, which were ridiculous and over the top, and cost people medals, by the way. So in doing so, it wasn't just let's pick on these things. It was a talking point. There were full-page stories in Canada, and maybe what we didn't do properly was set up the context of where all this was coming from. But I think if you look at that night and the two nights involved in the ice skating and all the rest of it there, you'll see that it was a pure joke, muck around on what we're flamboyant costumes.
Well, Eddie,
there was no attack on Johnny Weir.
I'm still intrigued about what you told your son about that feather, but thank you very much for being with us.
I reckon it was Fred Nile, but look, this is fantastic.
It was a funny one, but I tell you what, it's an interesting one though, and that is to demystify things early.
Yep.
And, you know, you asked before about, and yeah, I'm very conscious of, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old boys trying to work out where they are in life. And, you know, but you don't have to be gay to be doing that either. And we know that youth suicide is the biggest, I think we have the biggest rate of youth suicide in the world
per capita.
Yeah.
And it's not just gay kids, it's kids across the board. So, you know, they're trying to find out whether, you know, from single parents, whether they, you know, are gay, whether they're straight, whether they're nuts, whether they're going good, you know, whether the pressures, all those things is enormous. So anything like that, I mean, that's why I got involved in football, is to try and help people, and I love the game and things like that. So, look, you know, I don't know what happens when, if I have to go up to the New South Wales anti-discrimination, I'd rather sit down with Gary Burns and work out a positive way to go forward. You know, let's use the positive nature of things. I mean, I said to somebody today, what really is upsetting me is that I don't want to have to go to Sydney and argue the point against people who actually I believe in and want to support.
Well, I think
it's counterintuitive and it's counterproductive.
I think if you, you know, you sign up to Idaho and you support that organisation, and I think there are actually 25 AFL players that are going to be part of it, that more than anything else, when you go to Sydney, you can wear that badge with absolute honour.
Eddie, thank you very much.
Thanks. I was just going to say, look, I don't want to be seen that, oh, hang on, I might be in trouble, so now I'll have to try and square up with my, you know, gay bona fides and things. So, no, this is something that I think is important. And as Macca said, it goes back to, you know, what we said a long time ago. And, you know, I'm always very conscious to keep an eye out on, you know, the kids who come into Collingwood, both not only in the football department, but in the management department and the volunteers, to make sure that everything's, you know, there. And if there is anybody who you know, may be gay or anything like that, to make sure that they feel comfortable. And I think all that people do. So, look, I don't know much about Idaho, but I'm back next week. So, boys, can you let me know?
Well, we look forward to talking some more about it all. And congratulations, anyway, on being there. And I suppose congratulations to our team.
And thank you so much for giving up your time today. Is this your first time on Joy?
On the station?
On the station? No, I've been on plenty of times. But, look, you know, to be honest, I'd rather talk to you guys and work something out that's positive than having, as I said, have to go up to Sydney and try and justify things. Look, if it was a gag, it was certainly a gag. Whether it was a good one or not, well, you know, that happens all the time on live television. But it certainly wasn't aimed at or construed to be homophobic. As I've said, very easy for people to say, if anyone was offended, I apologise. Obviously, people found it offensive, and I apologise. And I've said that all the way along, and I noticed that Gary Burns said yesterday that I should apologise. Hey, I apologise because there was no intent to hurt anyone, so if there was any hurt or if there was anything like that, 100% taken back. But at the same time, what we have to be very careful of, I think, is to just work through and find out what the parameters are. And if that's what we can find out by having to front any discrimination, well, then that'll be a positive experience. But if they're looking just to whack somebody, I really think they're going to be whacking the wrong bloke, because I'm on the side of good on this one.
Okay.
We'll say goodbye. Thank you.
We've got to go. Enjoy the rest of the games, and we'll chat to you when you're back next week. We're going to make you the Idaho poster boy.
I'm the man. See you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Eddie McGuire, in case you hadn't picked up. Talked to us live from Vancouver.
And yeah, look, Eddie had a few things to say. Yes, he probably does get paid by the word. But, you know, he came on. Now, regardless, you know, people can have a lot of different views about that. The really important thing there is that, you know, we asked him. Eddie's agreed to be part of Idaho, International Day Against Homophobia, along with a lot of other sporting groups, the AFL Players Association, and that. You know, when that message goes into the lounge rooms of Croydon and Moorabbin and Oodnadatta and everywhere...
Leave Oodnadatta alone.
Oodnadatta, I keep saying Oodnadatta. Yes. That is a really, really positive message, isn't it?
It is. And you're hearing positive messages here on Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Him being part of Idaho, that is absolutely fantastic, because there are young gays and lesbians and also, you know, sporting people that really want to get homophobia out of sport. But and the support of someone like Eddie, high profile, and, as I said, people have their views, but, you know, at the end of that, he apologised for his views. you know, had they offended people, and I think, you know, I'm happy with that.
All right, and that was just a prelude, because we'll be coming back to talk with our panel of gorgeous guests. What's your name?
Alina.
I'm Kenton.
Sorry.
No, I'm Kenton.
Alina, I'm sorry. Kenton. I want to call you Ali, and I said, no, don't do that.
Now you'll get bitch slapped across
the console. I will. Ali and Ken. Oh, I'm in Kenton.
Yeah, you won't leave here on your own legs.
I know. In the meantime, let's get rescued by...
Joy 94.9.
The Melbourne Chargers, Melbourne's own gay rugby union team, is hosting their first open day in Footscray from 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 13. All players, supporters, friends and family are invited to come out and play, watch and learn, plus enjoy a beer and a barbecue from 3 p.m. The Melbourne Chargers open day on Saturday, March 13 from 2 p.m. at the corner of Farnsworth Avenue and Meyer Roads, Footscray. Check out melbournechargers.org for more details.
Archilespica Australia's annual Scampagnata picnic is back on Saturday, February 27. Enjoy a laid-back afternoon, play bocce, scopa, calcio, or just laze about and have a chiacchierata. BYO, all food and drinks, and everyone's welcome, including our animal allies. Archilespica's annual Scampagnata picnic from midday on Saturday, February 27 at Yarra Bend Park, Fairfield. See archilespicaaustralia.org for more details.
Executive producer Eric Williams here of 3 Joy in Melbourne. This is Community Network News, starting now.
With the latest Community Network News, I'm Anthony Lawton.
And I'm Penn Franz.
Eddie McGuire and comedian Mick Molloy have landed themselves in hot water with their coverage of the men's ice skating in Vancouver. The pair joked on Nine's Winter Olympics broadcast about the tight costume worn by American athlete Johnny Weir, which sparked hundreds of complaints. But Eddie's not backing down, telling listeners on his Triple M breakfast show in Melbourne he's not homophobic.
Sometimes you cross the line and sometimes you don't, but by and large, you want to have a look at a person's career over a 20-odd year period before you start calling them either racist or homophobic or any other thing like that.
That's QNN for this week. I'm Penn Franz.
And I'm Anthony Lawton. We'll have more for you next time on Community Network News.
We're about to be joined again by Macca in the studio. Can we just say, before we went across to the community roundup and everything, you might have heard the long play version of the interview where, in my former life, I understood the words mea culpa had 4 syllables. Apparently, they now have 9,720.
But he did apologise at the end for... had he caused offence, and I think that's...
He apologised before. I mean, let me say this. Some of my best friends are heterosexual, so yes. I have some compassion for him.
You're a cruel man.
There's a couple of things that we can learn from it.
Yep.
One of them was that he was quite clear that this is what happens when it's a difficulty of live cross or live to air.
Yep.
He proved that again by actually slipping in there when talking about the point about suicidal ideation and suggesting that those at risk might be those who are quote-unquote nuts, which is, if we were in the mental health sensitive community, might suddenly be front page news tomorrow. Mm. And if you say as many words as he does, you're bound
to
get some of them wrong.
Well, yeah. Yes.
And you know, when you are talking about an issue, it is difficult because, you know, your brain's, you know, trying to go a little bit ahead, and it's easy to make those errors, those faux pas, those indiscretions.
I think it goes back to your earlier point, Alina, about boys being incapable of multitasking.
Yeah, I know, but then I kind of do that too. I speak a bit too much, and then the brain... I just realised I said fag rags on air, and I'm wondering how many people are going to get annoyed about that, so I'll change that to the queer street publications.
Well, you know, when I worked for Wheels magazine, they used to refer to the dollies and all those as the scrag mags.
What's a Dolly?
Oh. Dolly, it's a girl magazine for...
And what's a scrag?
And he knows
what's
this.
What's a scrag?
What's a scrag?
Can I phone
what's a scrag? I don't know. If you know what a scrag is, 0427.
And the switchboard lights up.
Mac is a scrag. Mac is a scrag.
Yeah, I don't mind being called a scrag.
Certainly, see, just a few moments on air with Eddie and we've completely devolved.
Oh, yes. We have.
It's so sedentary, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You are listening to Saturday Mag on Joy 94.9 with Macca, Nick, Kenton and Alina. Now, Eddie Maguire. I was content with how that went. I was a bit longer than we would have liked. But I got some positive...
Not a complaint you make often.
Yeah, I got some positives out of that.
We're allowed to say that because we're gay folk.
That's right. And
I was actually flashing on John Clark, the comedian that we see, who once upon a time suggested that one of the theories about life and death was we're born with a certain number of words now, Ed, and when you use them all up, you die.
That's right. Okay. So you reckon any minute Eddie's going to fall off
Watch
the perch?
That return flight to Australia.
How come he got born with so many words?
He gets paid by the word.
No.
So... I thought it was pretty good. What's your take, Alina?
My head hurt for a bit afterwards, but I have to say that he did a pretty good job of going on and on and on about how much of a supporter he has been to the queer community, and he did a pretty good job of, I think, for any listeners who don't know about that, about trying to raise the HIV stuff, the pink magpies and things like that. But I think what he kind of missed is, even if you were to, and I said this at the beginning of the show, that even if I gave him the benefit of the doubt about what he said, it's not about intention, it's about the effect of what he said. Mm-hmm. And I did watch the interview, and you can actually get it off channel, The Age.
Yep.
And it's you do have two very blokey blokes, sitting around laughing, and yeah, taking the piss take, but when they take the piss take and they say something that will have that flow-on effect, then it's not just a joke. And he himself said, oh, I've got to remember, like, when you joke around with your gay friends, excuse me, what you say at home, you can't necessarily say on air. God, half the things I say on air, I get it censured by, and I'm in this community.
Mm.
So, you know, I think
you're pretty foul-mouthed.
Yeah.
Thank God you do restrain yourself. But it is true. I mean, when you're a public profile person, you've just got to remember, you know, that there are people out there listening, and they didn't really get the point that we have vulnerable listeners, you know, or people who are vulnerable who are listening to what it's saying, and they're not going to get context. They're not going to understand the politics of fashion and dance and medals and ice skating.
I liked the... And the question that I actually wanted to ask, but I couldn't because I'd gone deaf, was... Flamboyance, and this was that he mentioned
code
enough
word
camp.
Come on.
Yeah.
and
he did actually say camp at one stage.
He did. Yes. He said flamboyance, camp costumes,
and you know, flamboyant. You know, it used to be, oh yes, that person's very flamboyant. Code for they're gay.
Yeah,
Mardi
now,
Gras, yeah.
I suppose the link there between flamboyance and homophobia. What is it, Kenton? What's your take?
Well, I actually think the real question is how he defined homophobia. He defined homophobia as being fear or hatred, which are pretty extreme definitions of it. And one of the lessons it teaches us is that we need to constantly re-educate our straight friends about the spectrum of homophobia. Because one of the things that we often see is where the homophobia is something that we can sense but they can't.
Yeah.
And I talk about it as being like the mosquito in the room that when you turn the light on, you just can't see it even though it's been annoying you.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, well, what was homophobic about that? And sometimes we have trouble articulating just why that actually got our panties in a twist.
Yeah. And then you just go from the other side and you start off with heterosexism. With just an assumption that, the hetero way of life is the way. You don't actually challenge it. And then you think that homophobia is the absolute opposite. So I'm actually not homophobic, but I'm heterosexist. And that can just be just as bad and just as exclusionary.
Mm. Because I think no one in an office environment or whoever would go, oh, did you know that Mac is heterosexual?
No, but that's the thing. It's about who's actually being excluded. And in the straight... white man's world, which is pretty much, in my opinion, the world we live, in which we live, we are, many of us are excluded by race, colour, sexual, or just by being women are excluded. And so I don't think they get it. And Eddie's just sort of nice bloke, but straight white guy par excellence, I think.
And so signing, getting him to sign up as a poster boy for Idaho is a great opportunity both for him to put his cred out on the table and yep. fortify it, because, you know, great cred around the HIV stuff, but you don't get to say, I get to make an embarrassing remark now because I gave back in the office in 1988.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, it's an ongoing thing.
And I think the powerful thing about Idaho, it's not just for our community. Okay, we're going to draw something from it, but it's for the wider straight community, that guys out there, and you know, that make remarks or little jokes or whatever, and that are probably, you know, this is at the lower end of the scale, that have a lot of gay friends and stuff, and you know, they're cool with it, but they've still got this residual stuff. For them to see someone like Eddie standing up there, that's cool, but it's the rednecks, that's the ones that it's going to have an impact on. Because,
well, actually, the impact is going to start on Eddie and crew.
Yes.
Because actually, when they're standing there holding up the signs, choosing the signs, what am I going to say? Yeah. What's my statement going to be? The education starts there.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the first point of contact with Eddie that's going to shift.
Can I say, and call me a cynic, but...
Cynic.
Thank you, Nick. I was waiting for you. I don't know if he'll actually do it. Like, I think his whole "I'm hurt and bruised" was, you know, and this is me being super cynical, but also sort of covering his own ass, that potentially if this whole thing goes with Gary Burns and he has to actually front up to the Anti-Discrim Tribunal and he gets raked through the muds in the Sydney press and then down here, I think that would be a way of him turning around and saying, well, look at this. The queer community has stabbed me in the back, so I shouldn't actually support them. Now, I'm being the cynic now because I'm actually trying to fast forward into he spent a fair bit of time trying to raise awareness of what's going on in New South Wales with him, in Sydney, with the complaint.
Oh, yeah, Gary Burns.
And that was very, very strategic. Naughty. It was very strategic on his part. Mm.
He returned to it, not us.
He brought it up again. Times, we didn't.
Mm-hmm. I think that he was also actually wanting an opinion from us, which he didn't get, about what we think of what Gary Burns has said. Because if I'd given my opinion, I would have been erring on the side of... do you remember earlier in the conversation today, Macca, you said that what we need are laws in order, as one part of the spectrum of changing behaviour. I think that what we also need in the spectrum is political extremism. We need the conservative reformists within our community, and we need the people who are willing to shake things up. And I think that's where Mr. Burns sits, because for him to say those comments would incite hatred against homosexuals, tad extreme from where I'm sitting. I'm worried more about the gentle bruising it supplied, as we said earlier, to the young person.
We have an email from Colin who says, the effect of prissy guys in the Mardi Gras parade, which we support, also has a negative effect on young girls and guys trying to deal with their sexuality. Leave Eddie alone. We are to blame as well.
Oh, yes. Can you spell internalised, sweetheart?
Now, it's interesting. I was having a discussion with someone at work, Kenton, about internalised homophobia.
Mm.
And, you know, and it was around, okay, well, yeah, look, I'm out at work. Everyone knows that. Anyone that doesn't know I'm a poof, well, you know, they must trip over their Labrador. But at the end of the day, internalised homophobia is a big issue, and it leads to all sorts of consequences.
Yeah, and it's because we get to hear a lot of negativity, and as the caller, the person just wrote in then, they're seeing narrow visions of what's available to us. Gives us negative points of view about how we might move in the world. We record those, and all the negativity we get to hear sits there inside of our head on a CD-ROM that just gets jogged into action whenever anything starts to go wrong for us. So our relationships break up, and we hear a little voice in our head that says, gay relationships don't last. Lesbian relationships don't last.
Hmm.
And
oh, no, they last too long. You don't leave them because they're abusive relationships. Yeah. You should have left like about 5 years earlier.
But that's the whole exclusionary thing, that all these subtle messages which people who don't feel excluded don't understand are out there. So one more little crack from Eddie is just a huge big deal for some people.
Well, it's the world that you said we lived in, Nick. Mm. And because we live in the world and we get to rent space there because they're so nice to us and we should feel so grateful.
I'm also going to say something really, really horrible, but you know what? Like
That's so in character.
But the sad thing is that someone like Eddie, we actually do want to, in a way, okay, shoot me everyone, got the guns out, pander too. We want him on side because, you know, we're not going to get Sam Newman and all the other morons out there, yeah, I said that, on side. So we want him to basically to stand up and say...
We do
and
if need he's, to co-opt influencers, yeah.
And if he's going to make comments about, you know, the Mardi Gras guy with a feather in his bum, well, unfortunately, part of us are going to, like, swallow that...
Swallow the feather
not
from the bum.
Feather. Yeah. I know I said it and I'd get it. But we're going to have to actually accept that because we'd rather have the Eddie Maguires being proactively supporters of our community and then role models in their wider community about us rather than being out there constantly driving us crazy the way...
Well, it would be good if Eddie did step up to the cause and it became unacceptable to your average viewer for Sam Newman to do what he does.
You know? And, you know, just on that, I remember when I, you know, on that Bent TV interview and Sam Newman was a big part of that discussion, you know, because he was the main offender in that Molly Meldrum roast. And Eddie said quite clearly that he didn't support those comments, you know, they were unfortunate, and that... You know, he had spoken to Sam about it. He said, of course, Sam will take absolutely no notice. And part of what Sam is about being controversial, which is on the point you're at before, on the other end of the spectrum. At the end of the day, you know, how about we try and get someone like Sam Newman to say...
That would be that would be a challenge. Yeah.
And, you know, perhaps...
Well, you'd have to be convinced that he understood... I know that's rude, but I'm sorry.
Put it into two-syllable words. Yeah. Two-syllable words. Break it down. Use pictures. Picture of a dog. Picture of a cat. Yeah.
But seriously, that's not just a career-saving move, as we've faintly hinted that Eddie's...
I think that was Eddie's concern. Yeah. If he does sign up for Idaho, will it look as though he's just doing mea culpa? And I think that what we have to do is get behind him on this and say, this is actually just a flow on from his earlier positive work he's done.
Yeah. And you know, look, he's, you know, Elena says, will he sign up?
Yeah.
Okay. He's on record as saying, so I say he will. And certainly I'll be ringing next week and saying, hey, mate, here's the number, here's the guy's name, this is what you've got to do. And, you know, for him, I think, if nothing else, he's said it publicly, so I'd be very surprised if he...
Well, my feeling is between you and Greg Atkins and Rob Mitchell, he'll do it just to get all three of you off of his back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Are they your last words, Kenton?
He'll be in a ring with us and that'll be it.
All right, we have to wind up because we've got details coming up after the news. With Anthony, who's going to bring us the latest, including a man who's still recovering in hospital after a group of people gate crashed a party in Bentley East, or East Bentley, and all the latest in sport, including the footy, cricket and V8s.
And the V8 supercars. Fantastic. Now, this is Kenton. This is where I get to be a bloke.
Sorry I mentioned it, everybody. I'm sorry.
I know.
All right. Thank you very much for being here on Saturday Magazine. Alina and Kenton with on the panel. Macca, thank you very much for bringing us Eddie Maguire.
Thank you for listening. It was... Look, I just want to say the interview, it did go a bit long, but let's see what positives we can get out of it and let's analyse, you know, what he said. Let's read the transcript later and let's see what we can
the whole encyclopedia.
What we can draw out of it.
It'll be gorgeous. Cheers. Yeah. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.